Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Chedem and Aleph. The Gemara says, Misha Baba Derech, Lo Be'ya Biyado Lulav. Person who returns from traveling, and he didn't have a Lulav with him, so he has yet to do the mitzvah of taking the Lulav. Lishid Kanes LeBeito, when he gets home, Itol Al Shulchano. He should take it right away. Even if he's eating, he takes it right away. Lo Natal Shacharit, if he didn't take the Lulav in the morning, he told Ben Arabayim, then he can take it in the afternoon, Shekol Yom Kasher Lulav, because the mitzvah of Lulav extends over the entire day, even though we try to do it as early as possible in the day, because it's a mitzvah de oraito, and therefore we try to accomplish the mitzvah before we do anything else. And in addition, as we've seen before, the Anuim, which are connected to the Hallel, we try to have the Lulav and do the mitzvah of Lulav in conjunction with the Tefillah. But nevertheless, if someone has not done the mitzvah of Lulav in the morning, they can't accomplish the mitzvah. They can't be yotzi the mitzvah lulav in the afternoon. Mar says, Amart, not lo al shulchano, he take it on his table. What was the expression in the Mishnah that when he returns home, he takes on his table? Lememra comes to teach you de mafsik. It implies that even if he's in the middle of his meal, even if he's engaged in something else, like eating, he has to stop eating, and then take the lulav, do the mitzvah of lulav. Firiminhi, is that really true? We have a Mishnah from the Gemara in Shabbat, which says, "Emitchilu ein mafsikim." This is with regards to davening mincha time. The Mishnah there says that one may not engage in certain activities once the zman of mincha has come, because they extend over a large period of time. And it's very likely that he'll be ati lemifsha, he'll end up not davening mincha because of the activity that he's engaged in. But the Mishnah there says, "Emitchilu," if you're already engaged in that activity prior to the Zman of Mincha, ein mafsikim. You don't have to stop that activity in order to daven Mincha. So why over here do we say that he has to stop in the middle of his meal in order to accomplish the mitzvah of Lulav? Yet, in the case by Mincha, we say that if he started and already engaged in the activity, he doesn't have to stop. Samar of Safra Lokasha. That's not a problem. Hadika Shahut Bayom. Hadaleka Shahut Bayom. That depends on how much time is left in the day. If there is time remaining in the day, then we tell him to finish up whatever activity he's engaged in, and then he'll do the mitzvah. So by the case of mincha, since there's time remaining in the day, we say to him, finish up whatever you're doing, the activity that you're engaged in, and then go ahead and daven mincha. Hadaleka shod bayom, in our case by lulav, where if he continues his activity, the likelihood is that he won't have time remaining in the day. We tell him to stop right away and take the lulav and engage in the mitzvah. We see from here that even though in truth, there is no obligation to stop your meal, and you could stop at any time, because as long as there's time left in the day to accomplish the mitzvah, then you can push it off. Nevertheless, once we've determined that whatever activity you're engaged in will last for the remainder of the day, we tell you to take care of this issue immediately. We tell you, you're going to have to mafsik your suda ben kach u ben kach. So if you're going to have to mafsik your suda anyway, we tell you do it right away, so you accomplish the mitzvah, and you don't push it off anymore. So here by lulav, where there's no time left in the day, we tell you, take the lulav right away. Stop your meal and do the mitzvah of lulav. On the other hand, by mincha, where there's time left in the day, we say to you, okay, complete your meal, finish up whatever activity you're engaged in, and then daven mincha. Samarova, my kushya. Why did the question doesn't even get off the ground? Why do you have to have an answer to this? There's no question. Duma hadeoraita, haderabanan. It's a very simple distinction here. When you're talking about the mitzvah of lulav, you're talking about a mitzvah min haTorah. A mitzvah min haTorah, that's held to a much higher standard. And even if you're in the middle of a meal, we're going to tell you stop and do the mitzvah d'oraita immediately. And that's in general the way that we conduct ourselves with regards to mitzvah d'oraita, is that we don't eat and we don't do anything when there is a mitzvah d'oraita in front of us. That's true of lulav in the morning. That's true of kriyat shema, both in the morning and at night. We try to make sure that the mitzvah d'oraita is accomplished first, and then only afterwards do we engage in other activities. But here, by mincha, it's a mitzvah d'rabonon. So since it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, maybe we don't hold it to such a high standard, and we say you can finish off your meal, and then only afterwards deal with the mitzvah d'rabbanan, the mitzvah of mincha. Hello, Amarovo, Yikasha Hakasho. If you have a question here, this is the question, which is the Mishnah itself is internally inconsistent, which is like Shikanes the Beito, no tell al shulchano. It says if he returns from traveling, he comes into the house, he takes it on his table, meaning Alma de Mafsik. From there, you would infer that he has to stop in the middle of his meal. V'hadar tani. And then in the remainder of the Mishnah, it says, Lo natal shacharit. If he didn't take it in the morning, he told Ben Arbaim, Amalo mafsid. There it sounds like you don't have to stop. You didn't take it in the morning, you take it in the afternoon. Whenever you have time, you'll take the lulav. So in the first part of the Mishnah, it sounds like you have to do the mitzvah of lulav immediately. Yet in the latter half of the Mishnah, it sounds like you don't have to engage in the mitzvah immediately as long as you have time left to accomplish it. So Amar Rav Safra lo kasha, that is not a problem we can reconcile between these two parts of the Mishnah. Hadika shod bayom, hadaleka shod bayom. Exactly the same answer we saw from Rav Safra before, but now it's explaining this internal inconsistency in the Mishnah. If there's no time left in the day, we tell you stop right away and deal with the mitzvah of lulav. On the other hand, if you have time left in the day, we say finish up whatever activity you're engaged in, then do the mitzvah that is incumbent upon you, the mitzvah of lulav. So that's the way Rav explains it. I'm Rabbi Zeira, my kushya. Rabbi Zeira says, why is that a question? Dilma mitzvah las, okay? Maybe l'chatchilo, you should stop whatever activity you're engaged in and deal with the mitzvah of lulav. Ve'ilo posik, and if you didn't do that, you didn't do the right thing, then bidiavad, he told ben arbaim, shekhal yom kashed lulav. The Mishnah is telling you the proper conduct is to stop right away and deal with the mitzvah lulav. If one didn't do that, then they still have the ability to accomplish the mitzvah in the remainder of the day because kol yom kasher lulav. So Rabbi Zeira says, I don't even see what Rova is pointing out, this internal inconsistency in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about two different scenarios. It's talking about what the proper conduct is, what you do l'chatchila. On the other hand, b'diavad, if you didn't do that, then it tells you what you can do. Ela amar Rabbi Zeira, the problem is, like we suggested earlier, the Mishnah here suggests that you have to be mafsik in your meal, whereas the Mishnah in Shabbat suggests that you do not have to do that. Wait a minute, you said before we have a distinction. We could just say that the Mishnah here is talking about a mitzvah de oraita, and the Mishnah in Shabbat is talking about a mitzvah de rabbanan. It says, wait a minute, we're talking about yom tov sheni de rabbanan, and therefore, it's on the same level. We're talking about a derabanan mitzvah in both cases. Now here, we say Yom Tov Sheni derabanan, we're not necessarily talking about Yom Tov Sheni, which is the second day of Yom Tov, which is a din derabanan, but we might be talking about Chol HaMoed. And since it's Chol HaMoed, it has a different din than that of a regular Yom Tov. Dekanami, we'd say the same thing here, Meriktani, Mishabah Baderech, someone who's traveling, ve'ein b'yadol lulav, and he didn't take lulav yet, he didn't accomplish the mitzvah of lulav. D'isakadatcha b'yom tov rishon, if we're talking about yom tov, mishari. Why is it mutar to be traveling? Now the truth is that that'd be the same problem on yom tov sheni. One can't travel on yom tov rishon or yom tov sheni. Here the distinction within Sukkot is that yom tov rishon, the mitzvah of lulav, is de'oraita, whereas the remaining days outside of the mikdash, the netilat lulav is only zekr le'mikdash, it's a mitzvah de'rabanon. And so therefore, once we move to day two, the mitzvah of lulav is only a mitzvah dirabonon. And since the mitzvah dirabonon, now the mishnayot are on equal footing. The Mishnah here is talking about the mitzvah of lulav dirabonon, and the Mishnah in Shabbat is talking about mincha, with davening mincha, which is also a mitzvah dirabonon. And now when we're talking about two mitzvot on equal footing, then we have a question. Why does our Mishnah demand that you stop in the middle of the meal? And why does the Mishnah in Shabbat allow you to finish the meal? And the answer is, like we saw from Rav Safra, Hadika shalot bayom, hadaleka shalot bayom. Depends if you have time to accomplish the mitzvah after you've engaged in the activity that you are currently involved in. So if you have time left afterwards, then we don't worry about it. If you're not going to have time later, we tell you immediately to stop and deal with the issue at hand and do the mitzvah that is in front of you. The Ritva does point out from here the fact that the Gemara calls the second day of Yom Tov Sheni, Derabonon. He says it's interesting because it's Chol HaMoed. And here the Gemara is calling it a Yom Tov. So from here he says that it is a proof that the Chol HaMoed is classified like a Yom Tov. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah discussing Hallel. It says, Mishaya Eved Oisha Okatan Makrinoto Ona Achrehem. A person who has to say Hallel is obligated to say Hallel on Sukkot if he does not know how to say the Hallel. That's what Rashi points out. There's an individual who doesn't know how to say Hallel, and therefore he has someone else lead him in the Hallel. He has someone else teach him or help him to say the Hallel. So the first case, according to Rashi, is where he had a case where it's an Eved Isha Okatan. One of these three individuals goes ahead and reads the Hallel for him. So then, Makrinoto, when they read for him, One Acharehem, he has to repeat exactly Ma Shehen Omrim. He has to repeat everything they say because he can't be Yotze with their Hallel. These individuals aren't able to be motziim in Hallel, Eved v'isha, because it's a mitzvah aseisha as man grama, and therefore they're not chayavin in the mitzvah. They can, according to everyone, do the mitzvah, Whether they make a bracha or not is a machloke between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Svaradim, the Shulchan Aruch, who says that women do not make a bracha on a mitzvah that says man grama, but Rabbeinu Tam says they do. But nevertheless, they're on a different level of obligation, and they cannot be motzi a man. So therefore, if they are the ones that are reading the Hallel for him, he can't just listen to them. He has to repeat what they say, and a katan for obvious reasons, because he has yet to reach the age where he is obligated in the mitzvah d'oraita. He's only obligated mid the rabbanan. And therefore, he has to repeat everything that they are saying. But tavodo me'era. And he should be accursed because of this. Rashi explains for two reasons. One is shalom lamad, because he didn't learn how to read Hallel. And number two is v'im lamad. And if he does know how to read it, then tavodo me'era shemavazet kono l'soch luchim ke'ela. And then there's a secondary problem here, but he's choosing these individuals to be his representatives when he approaches Hashem, that these individuals are inappropriate. We'll speak in Tosafot about what the issue is in a second. But then, im haya gadol makreoto, on the other hand, if it's a gadol, person who is on an equal footing in terms of obligation with him, then one acharav haluka, then he just has to answer haluka after him. We'll explain exactly what that means. It is basically the chorus. The chorus is the first word or the first phrase of each of the paragraphs of the Hallel. And if the individual is reading for him, all he has to do is responsively, after they read the pasuk, say the Roshei Prakim, the beginning of that perek, that chorus, and he's yotze because, we'll see, shomea ki oneh, and because he's answering responsively. Makom shenagud ichpol, ichpol. In places where they have the minhag to double up the psukim, we'll double them up. Ifshot, ifshot. In places where they don't have that minhag, then they won't double up the psukim. Levarech, yivarech. Makom that they have a minhag to make the bracha, you make a bracha. Hakolk minhag ha-medina. That's all has to do with the minhag from where you're from. The Gemara will discuss the issue of bracha. We're not talking about the bracha in the beginning of the Hallel, but the bracha at the tail end of the Hallel. Number two is, with regards to lichbo and shalo lichbo, Rashi points out that the last part of Hallel, there is a natural feilut, duplication, inside of that perek in Tehillim. Even though not all the psukim have that duplication in them, some of them do, like hodu l'Hashem ki tov in the beginning and the end. Then we have yomar na three times, karati ka, Anani b'merchavka, Hashem li, Hashem li, tov l'chasot, tov l'chasot, savvuni, savvuni, tachot din chintani v'hili lishua, korina vishua, yamin Hashem, lo amut, ulamavet lo natanani, pitchuli shari tzedek, zeh Hashem. Rashi points out that there's a natural duplication within that perek in Tehillim, and therefore, even in parts that are not duplicated, the minhag was to double them up, which is what we do towards the end of that part of Hallel, that we double up Odechak Yanitani and those psukim because we want to replicate what was done before in the Perek Tehillim. It's not obligatory. It's all about the minhag. And therefore, if the minhag is to double it in that area, you can double it. If the minhag is not to double up the psukim, you don't have to double them up. Everything has to do with the minhag ha-medina. Just note here that the Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim pointed out, when you double up the psukim, you have full permission, you're granted to double up the psukim in Hallel. So if you're singing along with the Chazan during Hallel, if you've said it already and then you're singing along with him, then you should make sure to say the Shem Hashem, because you're allowed to double up the psukim. But many people, instead of saying the Shem Hashem, because they're repeating, say Hashem instead of the Shem Hashem, and that's problematic, because that's really a hefsek. You're not allowed to say things in Hallel that are not the Hallel itself, but you do have permission to duplicate or to double up things. So to sing, even though you've said it already, is fine, as long as you say the pasuk kichtavo or kikriyato, you say it exactly as it is written in the Hallel. Right now, Rashi mentioned that with regards to the problem here of having an eved isha or katan be makriyato, that is for two reasons. One is that he didn't learn, or if he did learn, that he picked inappropriate people to lead him. The Gemara now is going to introduce another case where we have this problem, which is Tanur Rabbanan. Here is with regards to Birkat HaMazon. As Rashi points out, when we say Be'emet Amru, that means this is a halacha psuka. This is an undisputed halacha that a son can bench on behalf of his father, an Eved can bench on behalf of his master, and a woman can bench on behalf of her husband. Aval Amru Chachamim, Tavo Me'era Ladam Shishto Uvanav Mevachim Lo. But a person should be accursed if his wife or his children do this for him. So over here, Rashi mentions that this is not a case where if lamad, but rather this is a case that lo lamad, and that's why he should be cursed. He should be cursed here because he didn't learn the benching, and therefore he has to have these individuals bench for him, and he should be embarrassed because he didn't learn this item. So it's interesting here, the Achronim deal with this. We're not going to delve into it so deeply, but Rashi on the Mishnah says there are two problems. One is that he didn't learn it, and number two is that he picks individuals like this to be his shluchim, because even if he did learn it, it would be problematic because of the individuals that he picked. Yet over here, by the benching, Rashi only says the problem is that he didn't learn about it. He does not say that the choice of these individuals is problematic. Now the Gemara in Brachot mentions that in these cases, that it has to be that they're on equal footing. By the evident Isha, it would have to be that they are chayavin in Birkat HaMazon mi de'oraita, and therefore they could be motzi the man verdin de'oraita. With regards to the Katan, who's only chayav mi de'rabanan mishum chinuch, the Gemara in Brachot says it's a case where the individual only ate a kezayit or a kebeitza, and he didn't reach kedei zviya, a satisfaction where he'd be chayav in benching de'oraita, since he's only chayav in benching mi de'rabanan, because he ate the minimum shiur, but he didn't reach the state of satisfaction. Therefore, the son who is higia lechinuch, who's also only chayav midrabanan, can be motzi the father because, again, they're on equal footing with regards to the mitzvah of birkat hamazon. And as Tosfa points out, that the Gemara only brought this down over here, not because it has anything to do with our Mishnah, but rather because it has that same phrase, which is tavo lo me'era. Person should be cursed for having these people or individuals lead him in the mitzvah. Because as Tosfa points out over here, it's not a case where they're reading in front of him and then he's going to repeat after them. But rather, in this case, they're simply going to bench and he's going to listen and be shomeya ki onet. And Tosfa makes two points here. He says, first of all, the problem in the Mishnah with using or utilizing these individuals is not the problem that he didn't learn, but rather that he chose these individuals to be motzi him. These individuals are not bnei chiyuva. And that the fact that he picked people who are not bnei chiyuva to represent him, that's the problem over here. And that's why Tavo Alav Me'era, because his choice of individuals is inappropriate. Rashi seems to indicate that he's Mivazet Kono Lasot Shluchim Keila. It's denigrating to Hashem that he picks such individuals, whereas Tosafot seems to indicate the problem is that these individuals are not Bnei Chiyuva, not as much of a denigration. You could explain that Rashi is saying the same thing as Tosafot, although Rashi's words are a lot sharper. And Tosafot brings a proof to his position because the Mishnah later says that if a Gadol reads for him, then that's not problematic. The Mishnah never says that if a Gadol reads for him, it's an issue. He says, then the Gemara says, you just have to answer, and everything is fine. It doesn't say, Tavo Lav Me'era. So it's clear that the Mishnah is not focused on the fact that he didn't learn it. It's focused on who he chose to represent himself. And that's why Tosafot differentiates his opinion from Rashi in the Mishnah and says the problem is not about not learning. The problem is who he chose to represent himself. And therefore, Tosafot in the second case says, Tavo Lav Me'era, where Rashi says, again, the problem is Shalol Amad, that he didn't learn anything. Tosafot says, really, there's no connection to this. That again, the same problem here is that there is a curse here because he chose these individuals to represent himself, people who are generally not bnei chiyuva. Now, by Birkat HaMazon, it might be different that they might be on equal footing with him. And from there, Tosafot plays around with what the woman's obligation is in these issues. And there she can be motzi a man. He brings, I'll just note it here because it's minyona diyoma, the major sugyot we dealt with in the beginning of Arachin and we'll deal with again in the Gemara in Megillah, is that women are chayavot in Mikra Megillah. And despite the fact that women are chayavot in Mikra Megillah, nevertheless, Tosfot quotes from the Bahag, Dei Nashim Motzid et Rabim Yidei Chovatan BeMegillah. Despite the fact that women are chayavot in Mikra Megillah, they cannot be motzi a man, or they cannot be motzi the rabim yidei chovatan with kriyat ha-migilah. And that leads to a lot of Torah amongst both the Rishonim and Achronim with regards to, is there a difference between the chiyuvim of men and women in Mikra Migilah? That maybe the Bahag is mechadesh, that the women only have a din in shmiat ha-migilah and not in kriyat ha-migilah, and all sorts of other Torah that revolve around this issue of men and women in Kriyat HaMegillah. Again, we'll get to it when we reach those sugyot in the Gemara Megillah. Tosafot points out over here, based on the Tosefta, that women and Abadim cannot be motzi the Rabbim Yidei Chovatan. Says you can't conclude anything from this, that they're not allowed to be motzi others on the same level d'oraita, but that might be a specific issue with Rabbim. And he brings this proof from the issue of Megillah, that even though the women and men are on equal footing in terms of their chiyuv, nevertheless, they still cannot be motzi the Rabbim Yidei Chovatan with regards to Mikra Megillah. either because it's not appropriate, or maybe there is a different level in the chiyuv between a man and a woman, and so the Tosfot leaves this unresolved, he just mentions this issue. Tosafot in the Gemara Megillah does point out that there's a difference between Birkat HaMazon and the case of Hallel over here. In the case of Birkat HaMazon, we say that the Katan can't be Motzi his father because his father is only Chayav Midrabanan, as the Gemara suggests in Brachot. So why don't we say the same thing by Hallel? Hallel is only a mitzvah Dirabanan. So why can't the Katan be Motzi his father because his father is only Chayav Midrabanan? Tosafot over there distinguishes between what's called Tre Dirabanan and Chad Dirabanan. In the case of Birkat HaMazon, the father has an obligation midrabanan to bench, because he ate less than Kedei Sviya, and the child has an obligation to bench midrabanan. He ate Kedei Sviya, so if he was old enough, he would have been chayav midaraita, but because he's a minor, he's only chayav midin chinuch, and therefore they have one dirabanan each. On the other case, when it comes to Hallel, the father has an obligation midrabanan to read the Hallel. On the other hand, the boy has an obligation to read Hallel, because of two dinei d'rabanan. The first is because it's a din d'rabanan to read Hallel. Even if he was of age, he would only have an obligation d'rabanan to read the Hallel. And in addition to that, he also only has to read it now because of chinuch. So it's actually two d'rabanan that cause the child now to be chayav in the kriyat Hallel, whereas the father only has one d'rabanan. And Tosfot mentions, therefore, the katan cannot be motzi the father in Hallel over here, because it's two d'rabanan versus one d'rabanan. And Tosfot says the same thing with regards to Mikra Megillah. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, it's only a mitzvah d'rabanan. The father has a single obligation midrabanan, but the child has two d'rabanans that are obligating him here. One is the fact that Mikra Megillah is midrabanan, and in addition to that, because of chinuch. And therefore, a katan cannot be motzi others with Mikra Megillah because of this issue of trade d'rabanan. Tosfot clarifies for us over here that when we say that the katan can be motzi the father by Birkat HaMazon, that is because they both are on equal footing in terms of being chayav because of one din d'rabanan. Whereas if the din is a din d'rabanan to start with, then you run into problems because the child or the katan will have a double d'rabanan, whereas the father will only have a single d'rabanan, and then the katan cannot be motzi the father, like by Mikra Megillah and the din of Hallel. So Amar Rava. Rava tells us now something based on the practice in his city, which is Hilchaka Devirta Ika Mashma Min Hoga De Halela. The way that we read Hallel today, we can learn a lot from that about all of these halachot. We have practices within the Hallel that are remnants of the practices from the earlier times that teach us certain dinim about Hallel or how you could read the Hallel. By the time of Rava, all the people were already bikiim, and everybody read the Hallel for themselves. So there was no necessity for one individual to read the Hallel and have the others repeat it or be shomeya ke'oneh. Nevertheless, there were practices when the Hallel that show us or teach us these halachot so we don't forget them, so that someone who is not able to read the Hallel themselves can take advantage of these items. And that is, Hu Amer Haluluka, Vehein Omrim Haluluka. The Chazan leads off with Haluluka, and then the Kahal repeats Haluluka after him. The way that Rashi explains it is that the Chazan begins Haluluka, the Tzibur waits for him to do that, then he waits while the Tzibur says the word Haluluka, and then they continue again. Rashi says they say Haluluka twice, they do this for the first Haluluka, and then for the Zidjul afterwards. But either way, Mikan, we learn, Shemitzvah lanot haluluka, that there is this mitzvah of being a chorus, that even if a baki listens, or if this person's ain't a baki, the way that one sings the Hallel, or one answers responsibly to the Hallel is, that they repeat the first word of that paragraph that you entered. You have the chorus be haluluka. So you say haluluka, and then the chazan continues. And that's every subsequent pasuk that he would read, the response to that would be haluluka. So that, actually, we would learn out of our Mishnah, too. But Rava is just saying he wants to show us that from our practices that we see this. Tosafot over here points out something interesting, which is that with this Haluluka at the beginning of Hallel, it will turn out that either everybody makes the bracha together, then the Chazan will say Haluluka, and the congregation will pause, and then they will repeat the Haluluka afterwards. And it'll turn out that they'll have a little break between their bracha and the beginning of Haluluka. Tosafot says with that little stop in between, because they're engaged in listening to the Chazan, it's fine. The other way to solve the problem, which is the common practice today, is that the Chazan makes the bracha and begins, and then the Kahal repeats after him the bracha, and then they begin. So they could do the same thing in this case, which is the Chazan could say the bracha and say Haluluka, and the Kahal could do the same thing in following up with him. Hu Amer Halulu Abde Hashem, V'hein Omrim Haluluka. And then they continue and say Halulu Abde Hashem, and they respond Haluluka. Mikan, Shimaya Gadol Makreuto, Oneh Acharav Habaluka. From here, that if you have a person who's of age reading for him, then he responds, or the proper chorus is Haluka in all of these cases. So number one is, it's mitzvah lanot Haluka. That's the proper chorus. And number two, it teaches us that if he continues in this way, and you do not read the Hallel yourself, then when he reads the next pasuk, the response, or the proper response, is Haluka again. And that's what our Mishnah mentioned, that if he has a gadol makre lefanav, he continues to answer Haluka and say the chorus each time. Hu omer hodelu Hashem, vehein omrim hodul Hashem. When we get to Hodul Hashem, the Chazan says Hodul Hashem, Ki Tov, Kelam Chasto, and then we repeat that after him. Mikan shemitzvah lanot Roshei Prakim. From here, you see that it's a mitzvah to answer the Roshei Prakim. The way Rashi reads it here is that when you begin a new paragraph or a new Perek Tehillim, then not only do you repeat the key word, and that is the responsive or chorus line, but rather you say the entire first pasuk together with the Chazan. Once he says it, then you repeat that same pasuk, and then you go into the refrain for the chorus. Tosafot thinks that Roshei Prakim has the same din as Haluluka, that they're synonymous, Roshei Prakim. And what we said before about Haluluka, he's just pointing out here that when you get to the new paragraph, then you switch, that the chorus becomes the beginning of the new paragraph. And he notes that maybe the Perek Tehillim with regards to Hallel only changes from Haluluka until Hodul Hashem. That's the first break that you have in the Hallel, even though that's not true in terms of Pirkei Tehillim. But that's what you must conclude from here, that the Gemara only raises, or the Minhag only started with Hodul Hashem Kitov. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rav, mitzvah lanot Roshei Prakim. He has the same conclusion, that it's a mitzvah to answer the Roshei Prakim. Hu Omer, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, Vehein Omrim Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Now, even though this is the middle of a Perek Tehillim, nevertheless, it has a similar concept, which is that the Chazan says Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, and we repeat the Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. Mikan Shemaya Katan Makreuto, Oni Macharav, Mashu Omer. This is a remnant of the halacha that we saw in our Mishnah, that is, if a person who is being motziyu is not obligated, then not only do you have to repeat the chorus, you actually have to repeat everything they say. And therefore, when the Chazan says, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, we repeat after him, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, in order to indicate that if you wanted to be yotze with someone who cannot relieve you of your obligation, then you have to repeat everything that they say. Hu Omer Ana Hashem Atzlichana, Vehein Omrim Ana Hashem Atzlichana. And then the Chazan says, Ana Hashem Atzlicha Na, and we repeat, Ana Hashem Atzlicha Na. Even though Tosafot points out, we're making a break between these two in the middle of a pasuk. Since it's two different people speaking, we don't make such a big deal out of it, but it's interesting that we break up the pasuk in this way. The din that we learn from that is, if you choose to double up on items, that is permissible in the Hallel. Hu Omer Baruch Haba, Vehem Omrim B'Shem Hashem. He begins the latter piece of that Hallel after Ana Hashem Atzlicha Na. He begins the beginning of the pasuk, which is Baruch Haba, and then they answer B'Shem Hashem. Mikan L'Shomea Ke'uneh. From here you learn out that someone who listens as if he has said it, because you don't repeat exactly what he said, but rather you continue onward. And they are doing this responsively, where Chazan says part of it and the Kaal says part of it, but neither says the totality of the pasuk. And from here you learn out that person who listens as if he said it. Tosva points out, Mashinogim Akshav Shishleh Tzibur Amar Shlosha Yomru Na, but Tzibur Anim Al Kol Echad Vechad Hodu, that our minhag is not like what is described here in the Gemara, that when we get to Hodu Lashem Kitov Kalam Chasto, we keep repeating Hodu Lashem Kitov Kalam Chasto as each subsequent pasuk that the Chazan says, Velo Matzina Minhag Zebashas, and we don't find this minhag anywhere in the Gemara. Mikom Makom Nafke Mehanach Krai Du Shomeya Ke'oneh. You're still Yotze, because you are Yotze the mitzvah of Hallel through Shomeya Ke'oneh. And even though you don't say those psukim by saying Hodul Hashem Kitov Kolam Chasto and hearing the Chazan say those psukim, you're Yotze because of Shomeya Ke'oneh. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out in Shulchan Aruch that it's appropriate when you're saying whole Hallel and you're making the bracha and you need to finish the entire Hallel, that sometimes when the Chazan is saying it, you can't hear the Chazan, that it's appropriate to repeat those psukim that the Chazan says, or lead the Chazan in those psukim to ensure that you hear it. Because if you don't have Shomea Ke'oneh, then you might have a problem in terms of completing or saying the whole Hallel. And that's where the practice arises, that people answer to the Chazan, Odul Hashem Kitov Kolam Chasto, and then they quickly say the next pasuk, because if they're not able to accomplish it through Shomea Ke'oneh, then they really do need to say those psukim in order to complete the entire Hallel.
If he hears it, but he does not respond, mahu? Is Shomea Ke'oneh only work if you respond to it? Or is Shomea Ke'oneh work even without responding to it? Amar lehu, chakimaya, v'sifraya, v'reishi ama, v'darshaya amru, says the chachamim, and those, the melamedei tinokot, and the leaders of the people, and the dorshim, say, shema v'lo ana, yatsa. Even if you hear it and you don't respond, you're still yotze. Shomea Kaone works simply because you're listening. The obligation to answer amen is because you heard a bracha and therefore you answer amen. Or here in our case of Hallel, since it's a shira, you answer with the chorus because it is a shira, but that's not an obligation in terms of accomplishing Shomea Kaone. Itmar Nami, I'm Rishim Pazi, I'm Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Minayin the Shomea Kaone. How do you know that when you hear something, it's as if you said it? Dichtiv, because it says in the story, Yoshiyahu HaMelech, when Chilkiyahu HaKohen found a Sefer Torah, and then Shafan brings that Sefer Torah before Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and he reads it to Yoshiyahu HaMelech. And they go after they read the Sefer Torah, Yoshiyahu rips his begadim, and he leads a massive tshuva movement. He sends the Shlichim to Chuda Neviyah to ask her about what this is. And she says that Hashem is saying, those things that Yoshiyahu HaMelech read from the Torah, Dichtiv, et kol divrei ha-sefer asher kara melech Yehuda, b'chi Yoshiyahu karan, halo Shafan karan. Yoshiyahu melech never read from the Sefer Torah. He was listening when Shafan read it, dichtiv, because it says there in the pasuk, v'yikare'ehu Shafan lifnei ha-melech, that Shafan read the Torah before the king. Elamikan l'shomea ke'onet. From here we can prove that one who listens as if he said it himself. Mar says, v'dilma batu de karanu Shafan kara Yoshiyahu. Maybe Shafan read it to him, and then Yoshiyahu read it after him. Amravacha bar Yaakov lo sakadatcha. You can't say that dichtiv, because the pasuk later on says when Chulda Neviyah is conveying the message back to Yoshiyahu Melech, it says Yan rach lebavcha. Since you are still young and you have a soft heart and you're leading a tshuva movement here, batikana, and you humbled yourself before our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here we have lifnei, and the pasuk says mipnei Hashem bishamacha. When you heard what Shafan had read. That's when you heard, but not when you read it. So here it's clear that all Yoshiyahu ben Melech did was hear that which Shafan read from the Torah. Yet, when Chulda Neviyah is speaking, it says that the items that Yoshiyahu Melech read. So from here you see that Shomei Akonet, just by simply listening to Shafan, it was as if Yoshiyahu Melech read the Torah himself. With regards to Shomei Akonet, Rashi over here quotes his Shita, similar to what he says in the Gemara in Brachot, which is that if a person is found in the middle of Shmona Esrei and the Kahal gets to Kiddusha or Yehesh Mei Rabo, the Gemara there says that you cannot interrupt your Shmona Esrei for these items. The Gemara there has a Havamina that for Yehesh Mei Rabo that you would interrupt Shmona Esrei, and the Gemara then says no. Rashi says even though you don't interrupt to answer Yehesh Mei Rabo or to say Kiddusha, you should stand there silently and listen to the Chazan saying it because it's Shomei Keone, and you'll be Yotze through Shomei Keone. So Rashi mentions that here as well as in the Gemara Brachot. In both places, Tosafot disagrees with Rashi and says that is wrong. You may not stop in the middle of Shmon Esrei to answer Yehesh Mei Rabo or to answer Kiddusha. Again, you're not literally answering, but even Shomei Keoneh, he says it's inappropriate to do that. The Achorim explained to us the reason behind their positions is how you view Shomei Keoneh. Rashi believes that Shomei Keoneh is not literally Keoneh. It's not as if you're literally saying it. It's an attribution. We attribute to you as if you said it. Therefore, if you stop in the middle of Shmon Esrei and you listen, we'll give you attribution as if you said Kedusha. We'll give you attribution as if you said Yehesh Mei Rabba. But that won't be a hefsek for Shmon Esrei. On the other hand, Tosafot believes when you say Shomei HaKeoneh, Shomei HaKeoneh is literally. When you sit and listen, it's as if you have articulated, it's as if you have said the item. And therefore, Tosafot says you can't stop in the middle of Shmon Esrei and do Shomei HaKeoneh because that's a hefsek. It's no better than if you actually said the Kedusha, or you said Yehesh Mei Rabo. The Gemara there says you don't do that. So Shomei HaKeoneh would function in the same way, and if you stop for Shomei HaKeoneh, it would be a hefsek in your Shmona Esrei, and therefore it's not permitted. So Tosafot over here, as well as in the Gemara Brachot, argues on Rashi's position. There are other Rishonim, I think, including the Rashba, who believes that it doesn't work at all. The Shomei HaKeoneh doesn't help you, so it's not even worth doing it. You could do it, but it just doesn't work. And so we have numerous opinions, both from Tosafot and other Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, but Tosafot and Brachot says, but Chaim Amadovar, that people are no way like Rashi, even though he believes that it's wrong, he notes that the Minag HaKahal, the Minag HaTzibur was to act like Rashi and to stop, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Halacha, that one who is in the middle of Shmon Esrei and the Kahal reaches Kedusha or Yehesh Mei Rabo, the person should wait silently and listen Shomei HaKeoneh to the Chazan. Amarava, Lolema Inish Baruch Haba, Bahadar b'shem Hashem. When a person says these psukim, he shouldn't just say Baruch Haba, then take a breath, and then say b'shem Hashem. Now, obviously what we said before, if he's doing it Shomei HaKeoneh, it's not a problem. But if a single individual is reading it, he shouldn't take a breath in between Baruch Haba,
and then say B'Shem Hashem, Ela Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Because B'Shem Hashem is being modified by the Baruch Haba. So it's Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. That's the proper way to read it, and not to be Mafsik in the middle. So you have to read Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem Ba'adodi together. Amar Rava Lulema Inish Yehesh Mei Rabo V'Hadar Mevarach. That person shouldn't say Yehesh Mei Rabo, stop, and then say Mevarach. Because it's Yehesh Mei Rabo Mevarach. That the Mevarach is modifying the Yehesh Mei Rabo Ba'adodi. They should be said together. Amar Rav Safra Moshe. Moshe here is a term of endearment. Moshe means either Talmud Chacham or Gadol Hador. Shapir Kamart? Are you really saying the right thing here? El Hotam Vahocha Asuke Miltahu, the late Lambo. All of these things are after Kavanat Aleiv. So even though a person takes a breath in between, it's not such a big deal. And if he takes a breath in between, it's okay. And as Tosva points out, Rova even has this opinion in the Gemara in Yevamot. And he says after he heard it from Safra, he went ahead and had the same practice or held the same thing, which is everything goes after Kavanat Aleiv. We don't worry about how you break it up. This last conversation between Rova and Rav Safra about breaking up Yehesh Mei Rabo actually might have some interesting halachic ramifications, and that is because there is a machloket brought down by the Tosafot in the beginning of Masechet Brachot with regards to Yehesh Mei Rabo. Over there, the Machzor Vitri says that the proper way to say Yehesh Mei Rabo, or the understanding of Yehesh Mei Rabo, is Yehesh Mei Rabo, and then Paz Mivorach. The Rabo is actually the phrase that is given to Yehesh Mei. On the other hand, Tosafot reads it or translates it as Yehi Shmo HaGadol Mivorach, that the Rabo is a modifier of the Shem Hashem, and Mivorach is the praise of Shem Hashem. And the Darche Moshe quoting brings down the Ri and brings down the Or Zeruah about where one is permitted to break up this phrase of Yehesh Mei Rabo. That's what the Dr. Moshe quotes from the Or Zeruah, that one should say Yehesh Mei Rabo, but then he can take a break, he can take a breath in between that and the word Mivorach. Whereas the Ri suggests, no, that you have to say Yehesh Mei Rabo Mivorach. And the Dr. Moshe says that it's Nira Yoter Ki Perusho, that it makes more sense like what the Ri is saying, and not like the Or Zeruah. The Magen Avraham over there connects these machlokot to what we're saying over here, which is Yehesh Mei Rabo, according to the Machzor Vitri, is Yehesh Shem Ka Rabba. That Hashem's name, which is Piyad Al Keis Ka Melchama Hashem Be'Amalek, that Hashem's name is not Shalem until the Atid Lavo. And the Brocha here of Yehesh Mei Rabo is Yehesh Shem Ka Rabba. That Hashem's name should become full again. And that is the praise of Hashem. So therefore, based on what the Oru Zeruah is saying, is that you can say Yehesh Mei Rabo, you can't stop between the Shmei and the Rabo, but before Mevorach, you can stay. On the other hand, the Darche Moshe, according to Ri, says, no, you have to say, Hey Shmei Rabba Mivorach, because Mivorach is the modifier, that is the praise. Yehi Shmo HaGadol. It's Hashem's great name. Mivorach should be blessed, and therefore it would be inappropriate to stop before the word Mivorach. Now, our Gemara over here, the Chora, is against that position of the Ramah, because over here, Rava says, you shouldn't be Mafsik. And then along comes Rav Safra and says it's no big deal, which means they indicate that you could stop between Yehesh Mei Rabo and Mivorach, which makes it sound more like the Machzor Vitri and the Or Zeruah than the Ri and the Tabali Tosafot. And therefore, Magen Avraham concludes that even though Rav Safra over here says Leitlan Bo, that it's not a problem, and if you make a break, Achrei Kavanat Aleva Dvarim, nevertheless says, Lichat Chilo, you should do like Rava, and you shouldn't make these breaks between Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, and Yehesh Mei Rabba Mivorach, you should say the whole phrase without any interruption or any break, because Lichat Chilo, that is the proper way to pronounce it. Bidi Avad, we say Achrei Kavanat Aleva Dvarim, and we don't worry about it, and we're not going to be makpid, we're not going to stop someone in that case. But the proper way to pronounce it, based on the Apsak of the Ramah, as well as what is found here in the Gemara, is, the way Rava explained it to us, is not to make those breaks or interruptions in those phrases. Okay, we'll stop over here.